This baseball season, catch every pitch at Long Neck Sports Grill. Each location has 4K TVs, so you never miss a game. The menu is so extensive, you can get something different every time you visit. I love the wings. And no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. Locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood. And when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a warm spring night on Long Neck's outdoor patio. Long Neck Sports Grill. This baseball season, stay late, come often.
I'm back. It's been so long, and we couldn't have scripted this any better, could we? To have me in today, you know how that makes me feel? All right, look, but here's the deal. We got a lot to get to. We don't got a lot of time, okay? I'm really upset about the time situation today. But we're going to do what we can. We're on until 5:30. Louisville's got an exhibition game that's cutting off a half hour of my time today. Not thrilled. And we've got Zach Taylor that we've got to run. So we're going to run Zach Taylor now because we're obligated to. We have to. They'll kick me out of here if I don't. So we're going to do that. And then, you know the deal. I'm Chad Brendel, by the way. I'm in for Mo Egger. I do have to remind you, it has been a long time since dim days, since the last time I was here. I'm the owner of BearcatJournal.com. If you follow me on Twitter, there's a good chance you probably muted me yesterday. That's okay. Austin Elmore mutes me anyway. That's how much Austin thinks of me. Thanks, Austin. But we got a lot to talk about. But let's get this out of the way first. Zach Taylor, weekly press conference.
Time for the Zach Taylor press conference. Brought to you in part by 1 Hour Heating and Air on ESPN 1530, the official home of the Bengals.
Spark. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. I mean, the players were off yesterday, so they weren't really around. But today, their attention meeting's been great. We just got a good group that I've got a lot of confidence in. And this is going to be a tough one on Sunday. These guys are good. You know, they got us a couple times last year. They went to the playoffs last year. We're going to be ready for their best shots. We're going to have to play well.
I don't think you swept the first round of the divisional
games
in 2019.
Say that one more time.
I don't think y'all swept the first round of the divisional games.
Oh, okay. Huge, puts us in a great position, you know, through the first half of the season. And so, again, obviously, you'd like to have won all the games up to this point, but that's just not the reality. And this one's a really important one, to be 3-0 in the division, to have taken a game from each team that we played when we had the opportunity, puts us in a really good spot. And so, again, winning on Sunday is our focus, and being 3-0 in the division is a byproduct of that. He's a great player, you know, and it's not enough that it's just him. You know, it's Jadeveon Clowney and Tack McKinley, and they got some great guys inside as well. So really it's, you know, Larry came over to us. We got Larry, but then they added a bunch of pieces over there on defense as well to go around Jadeveon, and even some new faces at backer and safety. And you know, they got some of the corners back healthy that they drafted and some guys that are getting back. So they've got a really good defense. They've done a good job building that thing. And you know, they've really played well this year. I know they gave up a good amount of points to the Chargers and the Cardinals, but other than that, they played really solid football, and you know, it's going to be a tough test.
You got some Carbonell track to play?
Yes. Yeah, he'll practice today. He's good to go.
What's that?
Evans will monitor throughout the week just to get a feel for where he's at with the hamstring. He's really – him and Cam Sample will be off today. Cam will be back tomorrow. And really, I think those are the only two. Auden Tate will be a little limited like he was last week, and we'll see where he's at.
How did Kareem come through the
game? He was good. You know, he played 10 or 11 snaps on defense, played some on kickoff return. He's good physically, yeah.
Any updates on Kareem?
No.
Going back to Myles Garrett, is it almost kind of like a basketball analogy where you say that guy's going to get his, we can't let anybody else beat us, or do you go in and say, we have to shut Myles Garrett down?
we go in saying we have to protect our quarterback, you know, and we have to be on top of the details in the pass game and the run game and all the things that can complement and slow him down. You say him, there's a lot of them, you know, and it's they feed off of each other. There's no question about that. And so, again, they've caused a lot of problems to a lot of teams. He had 2 sack fumbles against us last year, 1 in each game. And so we're very much aware of the problems that he brings. And, again, our tackles are excited for the challenge. Everybody involved in the process is excited. And so, again, we'll put together a good plan and go execute on Sunday. What's that? Isn't he?
What have you noticed now through a half the season of Jonah in how he has grown this year and how he has played over the course of the
game? I think the experience has just served him really well. And he's finally getting to play into a rhythm, you know, where he was just kind of in and out. Last year and the year before, just got OTAs. And so now just the experience of him getting to the rhythm that he was in Alabama, because he did such a great job of getting himself ready for every Saturday and the opponent he was facing and the game plan. And those are a lot of things we were impressed with as we interviewed him. And so now to get him to be able to play every week, and he just feels more comfortable. I think adding Riley over there as the other tackle who's kind of I can't speak for Jonah, but kind of the standard of played a lot of years in the league, very consistently, helped teams win games. And so to have those two guys together, Riley kind of helped bring him along in the process. Not that Jonah needs a lot of that, but I think it is good just to have that veteran experience on the other side that he's been able to learn from as well.
During the draft process, I remember it was all about this guy's got a spreadsheet of every guy, and he did this kind of – what have you seen him do in that regard here as far as that extra level of prep during the week? It's stuff you've noticed before, after,
Well, it's different now because you have a lot more meeting time. You know, so whereas in college you had, I think, the 20-hour rule probably when he was there. So you're very limited with what you can do with your coaches. Here, it's our job. You know, so these guys are in the building till 5-something every day. They're here at 8 a.m., whatever time they show up. So I can't speak to the specifics of his process when he leaves the building on Tuesday. But like I always say, I hear him through the wall every day. So they're in there all day, and they get a chance to do some of the extra work that maybe you don't get to do always with your coaches in college. And there's plenty of time to get on top of the things he needs to get on top of.
Garrett and Clowney, and these guys are, I mean, they're rushing the passer well, but obviously you have to stop the run to rush the passer, and they're part of the defense that's getting up like 80 yards a game and around the third of the league, stopping the run. So two-way players, are they playing the run as well as they're rushing the passer?
Yeah, they do a good job. They just present a lot of challenges. And it's not that, but they got a good rotation of inside guys as well. And those guys are playing well. And then these backers, they got a handful of backers that can play. I know the rookie's on IR, but these other guys have done a nice job as well. So they're all involved. You know, the structure of the defense allows them, safeties to get involved, nickels to get involved, the corners have to tackle. And so far they've done a really good job of that through 7 games or however many they've played.
What makes Cleveland such a good screen team? Is it Baker selling it? Is it the backs? Is it their line? Is it the fact they won the ball to set that stuff?
Yeah. I mean, they're number one rush offense in the league. And so you have to honor that. And so with that comes the play actions, the nakeds, and the screens. And it's effective when you can make it all work together. Kevin's background is he's always been really good at this stuff. And he's – I've got a lot of respect for Kevin and the way he goes about things. And Alex Van Pelt, obviously, working with them. They've also been around some of the best, you know, with Kubiak for as long as he was around him. So to get a chance to kind of have that mentorship as well sets a great foundation for you. He was around Pat Shermer. Pat's always done a great job as well at all the stops he's had. So Kevin not only is smart enough to do a great job on his own, he's also got that background to draw from that puts him in a great position. And he's put his team in a really good position through the first 2 years. You know, it's you just talk to the team and let them know we're here to answer questions, and it's a personal decision, and we leave it up to the players.
When you were interviewing Jamar through the pre-draft process, was there a sort of question line, or was it more just about the homework that you did, knowing that Joe knew him, and you obviously probably talked to LSU coaches about his character? Because there's been a lot of headlines about younger wide receivers, you know, mistakes, and it seemed, we just asked Jamar, just that he got some advice, said, don't ever lose.
Yeah.
How, as his coach, is that really reassuring to you that you don't really have to worry about a young guy not really knowing how to handle the type of successes he's had?
We believe we have a pretty good infrastructure in place to handle the guys when they come in the building. and every player that we draft, there's such an extensive process that they go through with the scouts, first of all, before it even comes to the coaches. And so they find all the information, and it's, you know, the background of a person we know, is that somebody we'd want in the building or not. And all the guys that we've taken are guys that we want in the building and we feel good about. And obviously we had a lot of his teammates on the team as well. So Jamar has been that since he's been here, everything we expected. And again, I don't get too involved in what goes on off the field, but those guys have done a great job adjusting to life in the NFL. And for Jamar and all those guys, there's coming to that point, though, you know, usually around Thanksgiving, where typically that's where guys got to make sure that they're consistent with their approach, because if you're not, that's where you kind of feel the longevity of the season a little bit. And our coaches have been really on top of the players about that, and our guys have been really disciplined, Jamar included, with his process every day and never wavering. And he does it on his own to an extent, but Troy won't let him falter either. You know, Troy's on top of those guys every day. You got to be consistent. That's how Troy was. That's how he survived so long in the league. He's done a great job reiterating that to the guys at his position. And so Jamar is able to keep that consistency so far through the season. We're counting on that, you know, for the rest of the year as well. Well, you guys have seen our practices. There's really only one padded practice we have on Thursdays. And so, again, we're conscious of the amount of reps we get. So you get a chance to correct a lot of the stuff on tape. We were looking for reasons to get on the guys last week, and they didn't give us any. You know, they had a good week of practice. We went out on Sunday, and we just didn't play up to our standard. And so we've covered it in the meetings. Again, we'll continue to read it. We're not going to change who we are during practice just because you lose one game. We're going to keep stressing the details that we've always – they do turnover circuits. They do tackling circuits over the course of the week. We always do our ball security and tackling stuff on Thursdays as well. And so we'll just keep up with the same process we followed. Our guys are ready to put that one behind them and step foot on the field and get a chance to start working towards Cleveland and show who we really are.
Is there something you've noticed, Zach, this year in games leading up – the weeks leading up to Pittsburgh and Baltimore, where the focus has been even that much higher –
You know, you want to treat it feels like every game we played has been the biggest game of the season, because it really has. It doesn't seem like coach speak. It just seems where we're at in the season. It feels like the biggest game. But we do know how important these divisional games are. And there's not much that needs to be said on my behalf. These guys know how critical it is. Again, we've played these guys more than, you know, them in Pittsburgh and Baltimore than any other team. And the players are want to always put their best foot forward. And so maybe you get that extra 1% of focus, whatever it is. I don't know. That's impossible.
Have you looked back on those weeks and go, wow?
No, it just, when you're playing a divisional game, guys understand what that means. And to set the tone in your division goes a long way in how your season's going to go.
Hey, when you and your buddies are looking for a place to watch baseball this season, how about Longneck Sports Grill? Each location has 4K TVs all over the place, so you'll never miss a pitch. The menu is so extensive that you can get something different every time you visit, and no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. There are locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood, and when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a spring night on Longneck's outdoor patio. This baseball season, Longneck Sports Grill. Stay late. Come often.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And I think that's sometimes spoken, sometimes unspoken, but our guys do a great job handling that, especially this year. And I don't expect anything less this week. Yeah, being consistent. You know, and sticking with your rhythm or routine and being able to adjust. If you feel like, hey, there's something we've done this for a long time this way, let's not do it just because that's the way it's always been done. You know, and so that's a conversation we always have to have about adjusting practice, adjusting lifts, meeting times, whatever it is, to make sure that we're doing the best to put our players in the best position physically, mentally, to be ready to play on Sunday, because that's what matters most, is that Sunday they're out there, they're fresh, they're mentally ready to go, they understand the plan, and they can execute it to their fullest.
Jamar played well against Marlon Humphrey. Does having Matt in the back pocket help heading into a matchup against Denzel Ward?
I think Jamar's approach is it's about him, you know, just making sure that he's continuing to stress the small details that matter at that position and playing physical, regardless of who he's going against. I think that it's pretty clear Jamar has the confidence that he can go win in this league against any corner, and it doesn't matter so much who he's going up against.
Is Clowney any different now than, I mean, you've seen him a long time now?
Yeah. No, he's pretty effective. You know, this is the fourth team I've played him on, and he's good. He's long. He's got great burst. He's got good instincts, and again, he's a challenge. So having both those guys, and then you got Tack McKinley and Joe Jackson, all those guys they got behind them, they've got a pretty good end rotation there.
This has been the Zac Taylor Press Conference on ESPN 1530, the official home of the Bengals.
All right, there you go, Zac Taylor. Thanks, Zac. Let's take a commercial. When we come back, college football playoff. Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. All right, let's do this. I might be a bit hyper. I have potentially had a Mountain Dew and essentially a king-size candy bar while sitting here waiting for this to start. So I might be a bit jumpy, and that's okay, because I think you guys, kind of knowing that I was going to be here today, expected me to be a little energized, and boy, am I a little energized. First off, since there just had to be something else on top of what I want to talk about, we'll start with the Reds trading Tucker Barnhart, two-time Gold Glover, kind of a foundation guy over the past almost decade behind the plate for the Cincinnati Reds. Great clubhouse guy. Everybody loved him. And look, he had an option. The team was going to have to, you know, make a tough decision on whether they wanted to pay him or not. It is essentially Stevenson's job now behind the plate. So you had to make a tough call. Are you going to pay $7.5 million for a backup catcher? The answer there is probably not, right? Probably not, if we're being honest with each other. So that part doesn't necessarily bother me. What bothers me is this. Here's the statement. Have you seen this, Taryn? The statement from Nick Kroll on trading Tucker Barnhart. Trading Tucker was a very difficult decision. Oh, you got the audio? No, I don't want that. I'll just read this quote. We don't have. Well, this is a very valuable 8.5 minutes. You know what I need? You know what I do need going forward for when I'm in here? I need my new thing is the Maury Povich line. Just any time that he says, and the lie detector test determined that was a lie. I need that line. I need that liner. Crawl opens with, trading Tucker Barnhart was a very difficult decision. The lie detector test determined that was a lie. Having been drafted and developed by the Reds, our entire organization has a connection to him. True. And our fans love him. True. But going into 2022, here's the important part. Going into 2022, we must align our payroll to our resources and continue focusing on scouting and developing young talent from within our system. There it is, folks. Close up shop on the Reds 2022. They just told you. We're not playing the free agent game. We're not looking to trade. We're not looking to improve. We're looking to develop. That's it. Their window's closed. That's a wrap. Nick Kroll just told you. Don't be surprised with anything that happens between now and the start of spring training. Actually, I had the whole month of October to think about what I was going to talk about the next time I was on. Because Tony and Mo didn't take a day off in October, jerks. And one of the things I was going to talk about was, I mean, you know who's probably made out the best with the way everything has gone over the past 2 months? It's the Reds. UC has become a major topic of conversation in this town. The Bengals are the major topic of conversation in this town right now. Nobody's talking about the Reds. And that quote's going to go under the radar. But it's very telling. They told you. They told you what they were going to do. All right, that's the Reds. Maybe we'll get back to that later. Maybe we won't. Let's get to the college football playoff. Everybody knows by now, 7:30 last night, UC's number 6. But I knew the grift was upon us with the first slide that they showed, 21 through 25. You know who was there? Pitt, San Diego State, Fresno State, Iowa, Wisconsin. You know who wasn't there? SMU and Houston. You know what that tells you? They had no intention of giving Cincinnati an opportunity to add big wins to their resume. Why? Because that hurts the narrative that Cincinnati doesn't play anybody. They don't have any top five teams to play. You can say the rest of the way, Cincinnati doesn't play anybody. Or at least not anybody in the top 25. Like when the AP poll and the coaches poll come out and there's others receiving votes, we don't get others receiving votes with the college football playoff, the college football invitational committee. We just get 25. Houston could be 26 and 27. We don't know that because they don't tell us because they don't want us to know. And that's, if you pay attention, that range of 15 to 25 is how they rig the system. That's how they rig the system. Because nobody pays attention to 15 to 25, right? But if you look at 15 to 25, that's how 1 through 10 is shaped. And they do it masterfully. They've had, 7 years to practice now. They know exactly what they're doing. And they do it every year. We'll get into that a little bit more in a little bit here. John's on the line. John wants to talk college football playoffs. How's it going, John?
My name ain't John, man.
Well, it says on my screen, John.
I'm DeAndre.
Oh, okay, DeAndre. I'm sorry.
I'm DeAndre from Ellesmere, man. What's going on, Chad?
Not much. How are you?
Yeah, before I get to college football playoff, man, you was talking about Nick Kroll. You ever seen him in person?
No, I haven't. Have you?
Yeah, I've seen him one time, man. He's only afraid of two things, and it's a full moon and a silver bullet. And I know for a fact that he drinks water with his tongue.
Okay.
And I still think that the biggest win in college football, if Alabama's number 2, A&M beat them. And I ain't saying A&M need to be in the top 4, but that's the biggest win.
A&M's not in contention to play for a championship. They lost 2 games. When people talk about the biggest win, they're talking about the teams that actually can be in the top 4. A&M can't get there.
I understand that. I completely understand that. I know your last name is Brindle.
That's right.
He reminds me of my boxer. He's got the same color as your last name, and his dog tag says Dave from down the way.
I have a Brindle half boxer as well.
That's what I'm talking about. I also got a St. Bernard.
And I'm from Ellesmere.
Just a regular person.
And I'm from Ellesmere.
And then Oregon.
You don't care that I'm from Ellesmere,
man, that's
DeAndre?
The insides of your body, man. and Ohio State got beat by a liver.
The problem with Oregon is Gary Barta, who I loathe, Gary Barta talks about Cincinnati not playing anybody, and in the next breath talks about Oregon and doesn't mention their loss to 3-5 Stanford, or that they only beat 3-5 Cal by a touchdown, and they only beat 5-4 UCLA by 3 points.
And so, I agree with that, man. Oregon's from the crap 12, man.
Right.
Yeah, you got to give UC a little bit more respect, man. Yeah, they got a little bit of a win against Navy. That's a triple option, homeboy. Like, everybody be, like, not good against Navy.
Yeah, I mean, Cincinnati didn't play. Like, let's make no mistake. Cincinnati didn't play well against Navy. They didn't get off the field at the rate that they normally do. And, you know, they allowed Navy to dictate the terms of that game, which you can't do against an inferior opponent, but it is the triple option. Like, they are perfectly content. Navy ran for 2.9 yards per carry in that game.
I do have a question.
Okay.
Did the Bearcats beat Tulane more than Oklahoma did?
Yes.
All right, case closed.
But they put Oklahoma at 8, so Oklahoma's not even – they screwed Oklahoma too. Kind of.
No, Oklahoma screwed themselves by not being Tulane by more than you see.
I mean, that's fair, but I'm just saying, like, Oklahoma's undefeated. There's what?
Hey, when you and your buddies are looking for a place to watch baseball this season, how about Longneck Sports Grill? Each location has 4K TVs all over the place, so you'll never miss a pitch. The menu is so extensive that you can get something different every time you visit, and no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. There are locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood, and when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a spring night on Longneck's outdoor patio. This baseball season, Longneck Sports Grill. Stay late. Come often.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
5-4 one-loss teams ahead of Oklahoma.
Man, you can't lose at home, man. Ohio State lost at home, man.
I know.
They out, man.
I
that's some BS, man. I don't care what Austin Elmore say anyway. He wear glasses. Like, he knows all about the Dewey Decimal System and the card catalog. I'm not going to take his opinion for nothing.
All right, DeAndre, I appreciate it, man. I got to get to a break.
Man.
What's up? Okay, I guess he hung up. Like, he didn't even care. He was from Ellesmere. He didn't even care I was from Ellesmere, Taryn. I was trying to build a connection with DeAndre. He wasn't concerned. We're going to take a break real quick. Phil from Lincoln Heights, you're up next. Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. If that's any way this day is going to go, we got a treat for the next 2 hours. Okay.
People, your dreams have now been fulfilled. Get your up and let's get ill. That's right, y'all. We're more than rough. We're calling you bluff. And when it comes to rock,
yo, don't scandalize mine.
Ooh.
I spend too much time.
Okay. I miss this. Like, this is a part of my life that's been absent for like 6 weeks, and it's been a rough 6 weeks. It has not been a fun 6 weeks outside of the UC stuff. But, boy, when the beat hit on that, like, my body, like, my soul felt right. I'm going to have to listen to that on the way home tonight now. Outstanding. Let's take some more phone calls. 513-749-1530. I got a lot to say on this, but I'm going to let you guys vent because I know you guys need to vent as much as I need to vent. It's frustrating. Phil, Lincoln Heights, what do you got, Phil?
Bro, what is DeAndre talking about?
I'm not sure.
I mean, I think DeAndre and you smoking the same stuff, Chad.
Me?
Bro.
What'd you bring me into this for?
Man, they lucky to be six.
They're lucky to be six.
Lucky.
Okay, Phil. Okay, Phil.
Bro, Navy?
Bro, Stanford?
Tulane? Come on.
Cal?
Man. Come on.
Come on.
Come on,
man.
Come on. Who are we fooling, man?
Guess what? Guess what, Phil? Guess Phil. Phil, shut up. Guess what? The AAC is statistically rated higher than the Pac-12 in the metrics.
Bro, what
bro, 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 bro.
500 in the SEC? 500.
They're the closest anybody's played to Georgia in a year.
Come on.
Come on. I'm coming on. I'm telling you.
How's they smack them by 50 and had to call the dogs off?
That was 3 years ago. What the hell's that got to do with today, Phil?
Because they smack them by 50 again.
Okay, Phil. Bro, bro. Okay, Phil.
Exactly.
Matt on a cell phone. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing okay. And I actually, believe it or not, agree with Phil, but for totally different reasons.
Well, I don't mind if you think that Ohio, like if they played, you look at the Vegas odds, Ohio State would probably be about a 7 to 8 point favorite. I don't have a problem with that, but don't be an idiot about it.
I'll try not to.
Okay.
But this is all they are doing is creating hype. We've seen before they have, you know, 8-10 different criteria that they weight however they choose to weight it.
Of course.
Until the final week, and then at the final week, they say that whatever they weighted it before is going to be changed anyway.
Yeah, but Cincinnati's not getting in, Matt.
Oh, they'll get in.
They're not getting in.
Yep. Who? Michigan State is going to beat Ohio State, or, you know, whatever happens there. Alabama gets beat by Georgia. And all of a sudden, now you got two lost teams, and UC with undefeated UC is going to get in ahead of any two lost team. Any two lost team.
They put Bama at number two, and did you hear what Gary Barta said yesterday?
I didn't even listen to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of the things Gary Barta said is the debate really was tough between 3 through 10, meaning that Alabama wasn't even in the, like, Alabama was two without question. After losing to a two-loss Texas A&M team, barely beating Florida, and I won't say struggling, but kind of like how UC and Tulane was, that's how they were with Tennessee. And they weren't in the conversation to be anywhere but two. And the committee chair clarified that. The debate was 3 through 10, nothing to do with two.
Okay, so 3 through 10, you don't have to worry about two. Just worry about 3 through 10. You'll be fine.
Well, if there's two SEC teams in, regardless of what happens, Cincinnati has to worry.
Absolutely. They absolutely have to worry. There's no question.
They don't control their destiny is the problem.
Of course they don't. And that UC fans talk out of both sides of their mouth. You're all excited about getting into the Big 12 because then you'll have more control over your destiny than you have now.
Correct.
Everybody understands the rules of the game are
correct.
To create good matchups.
No, that's not the rules of the game. The rules of the game are to make ESPN money.
That's right. That's how they do it, by creating compelling matchups and getting people to watch games. That's how ESPN makes money.
But Matt, you know what's happened every year over the past 5 years?
Yeah, they picked big Power Five schools.
In direct relation to what you just said, the ratings have declined for every game over the past 5 years.
Right.
They're really bad at getting viewers because they don't understand that they need new blood to revitalize the sport because everybody's sick as crap outside of the fan bases of those teams, of watching Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Alabama.
Right. And Notre Dame losing to one of those teams,
The people are tired of that. So they're doing, what their supposed goal is, they're really bad at it because they don't understand. The public wants a Cincinnati. You know when we get the highest ratings in CFP history? Cincinnati playing in a semifinal, because everybody would watch to see them get their ass kicked, right?
You can't say that. I,
I don't think they'd get their ass kicked, but that's why everybody would watch.
But I'm saying there's not that many people across the country that are interested in the University of Cincinnati. It's just that's the way it is.
Did
there's
you not?
More people interested.
Were
in
you not
Notre
paying
Dame
attention last night?
What do you what?
That's all anybody talked about.
Oh,
was Cincinnati?
Understood. Right. That
they're a novelty right now.
That creates conversation.
Right. That's the job of TV and radio, right?
Right. That's what we're here to do. Is there? So they've given us plenty to talk about.
Okay.
But it's what I'm saying is, you know, you don't control your own destiny, but you knew that going into the season that UC didn't control their own destiny. They had a better chance because they scheduled well compared to UCF and some of the Power Five teams of the past. You know, Houston, who's self-destructed or whatever that was.
Yeah, Houston would have been in.
Okay, so it's well, yeah.
Houston would have been in with the wins that they had if they didn't implode.
But they didn't finish.
Right, of course. I'm not saying they did. I'm saying they had done enough that they were the ones that kind of did what they were supposed to do all the way until the last month of the season when they completely fell apart in November. So, yeah.
So that's watch UC do that. Do what they're supposed to do, not fall apart, and it'll all work itself out. And like you said, it's not totally – they don't control their own destiny, but they knew that going into the season. We should have all known that going into the season. They don't control their own destiny.
Well, if Indiana's good like they were supposed to be –
they were fair. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
If, you know, Indiana's supposed to be a top 15 team, or that's where they were preseason, right? If you've got a top 10 win at Notre Dame, a top 15 win at Indiana, then you've got two of the five best wins in college football.
Right. But you still have to look at the whole season. You surely understand the rest of the.
Let me ask you this, Matt. Let me ask you this, Matt. Do you think Cincinnati wants to play an American Conference schedule?
Join the Big 12.
Right.
So
this isn't voluntary by them. Did you hear what Gary Barta said again yesterday? In order for a group of five team to make it, they need to have a schedule like BYU. Can you tell me that why that's the most asinine thing ever, Matt?
That's asinine.
Why?
That's asinine. No, Notre Dame's schedule, and I watch it every year in and year out, Notre Dame's schedule's not that different than UC's schedule.
No, it's not.
I mean,
but it's got P5 names on it. Woo-hoo.
Right. Exactly right. But, I mean, I've seen Notre Dame lose to – we're getting off on a tangent. Connecticut, Louisville, Syracuse. Cincinnati doesn't want to trade places with any of those schools, and they're all in Power 5 – supposedly Power 5 schools.
Yeah.
Well – Connecticut no longer is.
Right, of course.
Right. But I'm just saying, this idea that there's this big dichotomy is a false narrative anyway.
I agree.
But I think you need to have more faith and let it work itself out.
I can't have faith in the playoff committee, Matt. I can't.
Well, you don't need to have faith, but get to the end of the season and then.
Right. Fair enough. Thanks.
To deal with it.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, brother.
Thank you.
See, that was good. I like that. Other than the guy that just wanted to bro me. Bro. It's like Mel Kite. Todd. Brad in Ellesmere. What's up, Brad?
Hey, this is Brad from Ellesmere, and I'm proud to be from Ellesmere.
Me too.
My whole family was raised in Ellesmere.
My whole family kind of started Ellesmere, Brad.
Okay, but my name is Brad Wigglesworth. And I wanted to ask you, is Todd Brendel your dad? Or
no, he's my uncle.
Oh, okay.
Barry's my dad.
Me and Todd played forever. He was a little bit younger than me, but he would always make the team because he was athletic.
He was athletic. We have that in common.
Yes, and first-time caller.
Appreciate you, Brad.
And when you talked about the guy that was from Ellesmere that wasn't wanting to get with you, well, I get with you because
right.
Ellesmere was a good place to be raised.
I agree, Brad. I turned out okay most of the time.
I'm sitting here waiting for my grandson on the bus. I listen to you guys from noon on. I love it.
Thank you.
I don't even listen to music anymore. I just listen to 1530. All I wanted to say, okay, number one about the Bearcats. There is a lot of ball to be played still.
Yeah.
And there is some wins and losses. If we win out and there's some wins and losses, we might jump them.
We'll talk about that in the next hour, Brad. I know you're going to be listening. I'll explain why that's going to be tough.
It is going to be tough. And about the Bengals on Sunday, I watched the game. I did have people down, but I zeroed in the game. They were not ready to play.
No, they weren't. They got smacked in the mouth. They got pushed around. They had no answer for it. They tried, and New York just wanted the proverbial, the other team wanted it more. New York was, the Jets were more physical. They were more aggressive.
Well, on another note, that being said, I'm worried about teams doing the basic defense against them and shutting Jamar down. And is this going to be a thing of all the defenses, what they're going to try to do on them this year?
Maybe, but then you got to make them pay like they did with Higgins and Tyler Boyd, and then they have to come out of that. So we'll see. I got to get to a break, Brad. Thanks for calling, man. Appreciate
it. Man. We love Elsmere.
Elsmere in the house.
Okay. Thank you, buddy.
My people, Taryn. My people. Back with more after this. Cincinnati's ESPN 1530.
The Battle of Ohio is on. Joe Burrow and his Bengals are out to avenge last week's loss.
Touchdown, Bengals!
By putting down the Cleveland Browns.
What a throw by Joe Burrow.
Get the call from Dangerous Dan Hoard and Dave Lapham.
Coffin now!
Coverage begins Sunday morning at 9.
Bam! Bam! Bam!
On ESPN 1530, the official home of the Bengals.
Here we go, hour number two. I'm Chad Brendel filling in for Mo Egger. Mo will be back tomorrow. And then I'm in Thursday of next week as well. I'll be on tomorrow, though. I'm in at 3:45 with Mo tomorrow. Where I'm sure he'll ask me questions about the college football playoff. We'll do it all again. It's time to start talking. We're less than a week from the start of the UC basketball season. 6 days. 6 days! This is how much I love you guys. I could be at basketball practice right now. And there are a few things in my life I love more than watching basketball practice. I know that makes me a sick and deranged individual. But I love it. Instead, I'm here with you. Because I care. Before we get back to the CFP stuff, Reds trade Tucker Barnhart. They get Nick Quintana in return. Barnhart, 7 years as a Red, 2 Gold Gloves. Great, great career as a Red, especially defensively. Did a great job running the pitching staff. And a guy that was very beloved in the city and in that clubhouse. But it's Tyler Stevenson time. Let's be real. It's time for Tyler Stevenson to take over behind the plate. Yes, for another year, it might have been nice to have Tucker Barnhart here to continue mentoring him. But it's time for Tyler Stevenson to play 150 games behind the plate, right? If what we saw last year is any indication, he's got a chance to be really, really good. One of the better offense, defense catchers in the league. He has that chance. It's time to give him the job. I don't like that Nick Kroll basically said, you know, we have to get our payroll aligned and we're going to focus on developing young talent, which means he also said they haven't made a decision on Nick Castellanos. The lie to test determined. That was a lie. I need that clip, Taryn. I need it. I need oxygen in this room. I need that clip. And you got to have, like, you know how when do you used to watch Maury? Did you watch Maury at all? When he had multiple questions that were a lie, like he had different infliction, you know, the first one would be the lie to test determined. That was a lie. And he got to the second one, the lie detector test determined. That was a lie. And then he got to the big one at the end, the lie detector test determined. That was a lie. Like, you know, like we need levels. There's got to be levels to this. Oh, but, you know, the Tucker Barnhart era is over in Cincinnati. Wish him well. He was a good one. Let's get back to it. Jim in Sarasota calling all the way from Sarasota, Florida. I assume either listening online or on the iHeart app. He wants to talk UC's playoff ranking. How's it going, Jim?
Man, good, sir. How are you today?
I'm having a great time. I missed being in this chair. It's been a while.
Hey, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
2 points, like your opinion on both. Number one, the Bearcats. I guess no one should be surprised by this. It's more like a popularity contest.
It's an invitational.
Really, they want the dollars. They want people to watch it on TV. Those are your powerhouses, Ohio State, Oklahoma. They want the ratings. It's more of a, how are we going to make money off of this and who's the best team to put in? So no one should be upset or surprised because that gets pushed out, because they don't want this guy to get in there and get blown out and everybody go, look, you put a small team in there, that's what happened. Next year, put Ohio State back in, it's all over with. And that's how they'll play it. So it's unfortunate. But unless you go jump in with the big boys and play them all year, you're going to get this nonsense that goes on. So that's the Bearcats. The Bengals, your opinion on the Bengals and kind of how this year has gone so far. Last press conference on Monday, somebody jumped up and said, in the middle of the whole Jets debacle press conference, that, what do you think about T. Higgins and Joe Burrow finally getting together on these long plays and this whole conversation about how great that was? To me, the bar has been set so low so long. Andy Dalton moved the ball down the field, right down the field with the Bears, first drive. The Jaguars moved the ball down the field for an entire half. And yet, every press conference is, look how much better the defense is, look how much we're turning the corner. They look for little shards of anything versus saying, you know what, it's been long enough, you lost to the Jets, that's ridiculous, why did that happen? Why do we continually look for these little tiny shards of happiness, if you will, when the reality is, they're not that good on defense. They've had bad teams.
They've been better. They've been statistically in the top 10 on defense in most categories. Like, yeah, I'm not saying they're great, but
the competition. I mean, the Ravens had nobody there. They had an 8th-string back plan. The line was banged up. We totally disregard the fact that the Ravens were at half arsenal when they played us. If Dobbins was in there, they wouldn't have had that game against the Ravens.
Maybe. I mean, I hate speaking in absolutes on things that we didn't see happen. You know what I mean?
I don't think the Jaguars have the offense to push him down the field.
I don't either.
I don't know what Dalton's going to do on the first drive. Why is he pushing the ball down the field on you? He's not doing anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, it was one drive. So, a lot of times that happens.
They come out the beginning of every game and they get pushed down the field. Same thing with the Jets. Who were the Jets to come down the field? They got a nobody playing quarterback.
They made Mike, look, we did this well.
We did this well. What about this?
They made Mike White look like an all pro. Like that can't happen.
Yeah. It's these constant softballs in these press conferences. Well, Zach, what about this? Wasn't this better? Wasn't that better? Who cares? You got embarrassed by the Jets.
Yeah, what I don't agree with, and I talked about this a little earlier, it's not producing ratings anymore. The ratings have declined every year for 5 years because people are tired of watching the same teams over and over and over. They desperately need new blood in this college football playoff, or people are going to just flat out stop watching.
Oh, you're right. You're absolutely right. It's just the old boys club.
That's the system was. You know why the system was put in place, right?
Sure.
Because they couldn't manipulate a computer algorithm.
Correct.
And they said, we can't do this anymore. We have to make sure. The funny thing is, Cincinnati very much played a part in how this all played out. Because they were 1 second from playing Alabama for a national championship.
That's right.
And the old boy club said, no. Now, it took a couple years to get everything restructured and started as the CFP, or CFI is what it actually is, over the BCS. But make no mistake, Cincinnati played a major factor in it getting switched from a computer algorithm to 13 people that have an agenda sitting in a room. So
I would disagree, but I
just wanted to add that to what you said. You're right. Their job is supposed to be getting ratings for ESPN. They are terrible at it.
Yep.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Jim.
That's right, bud. Take care.
Brian Eastgate, what's going on, Brian?
Hey, how you doing, Chad?
I'm doing great. I'm having a lively conversation today. It's fun.
Other than UC being ranked 6, that's about as best it could be today. That's as best it could go for you.
The sixth part isn't, I said this, the sixth part isn't what enrages me. What enrages me is being lied to by somebody like Gary Barta, who thinks that we're too stupid to understand what he says, and then watching, you know, things like SMU and Houston not get, they're ranked in both polls, but they're not ranked in the CFP playoff because that would allow Cincinnati an opportunity to get a couple nice wins on their resume. But instead, Fresno State and San Diego State are in there.
Would that have made UC ranked higher if those teams were ranked?
No, but it would have given UC an opportunity at the end of the year to get a ranked win over SMU and then potentially a ranked win over Houston in the American Athletic title game. And now instead, what the committee will be able to say is, look, they don't even play any ranked teams the rest of the way.
Well, I'm just thinking, I have an argument, though. What's Ohio State's strength of schedule? Because, I mean, if Oregon beat Ohio State, but then they lost to Stanford, is that that big of a win for Oregon to beat Ohio State?
I think Ohio State's strength of schedule is somewhere in the, like, high 60s, low 70s, and Cincinnati's is at 100. So there is a gap, but it's not a significant gap at all. And actually, strength of record, I believe, the last I saw, Cincinnati was 7, and Ohio State was, I think, 12.
I just disagree with the playoff committee.
I do, too.
Ranking Oregon and Ohio State ahead of you. See, why do they have AP and coaches polls if they're going to rank UC second and the coaches in AP? Why would they be 6?
Well, those are just there because they've been there forever. I mean, if you remember, that they were actually used in the BCS formula along with the computer models because they've just been a part of college football since the beginning of college football. They're not going to go away. People should probably stop paying attention to them. But, you know, people, I'm in the content business with Bearcat Journal.
I don't agree with the college football playoff committee's way they rank their teams in the top.
I don't either. I don't either. I don't like
top
it.
8. I mean, so UC got the shaft. So what are you going to do? You got to have them win out, right? I mean, you have to have more style points.
The problem, style point. Here's the thing, though. Style points didn't matter at all yesterday, Brian, because they could have beaten Navy by 40 and Tulane by 50. And it wouldn't have changed anything. They just would have said Cincinnati didn't play anybody.
Well, that's what those big heads at ESPN said to Heather Dinich saying, you know, they didn't look good.
Well, yeah, that's
Navy or Tulane. Does that mean, I don't know if that caused them to be 6th?
Hey, when you and your buddies are looking for a place to watch baseball this season, how about Longneck Sports Grill? Each location has 4K TVs all over the place, so you'll never miss a pitch. The menu is so extensive that you can get something different every time you visit, and no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. There are locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood, and when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a spring night on Longneck's outdoor patio. This baseball season, Longneck Sports Grill. Stay late. Come often.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
But what I'm saying is that's what they said because that's what they had to use. If Cincinnati wins both of those games big, all they would just change the narrative to, well, of course they won big. They were playing, you know, one win Tulane and two win Navy.
And it's hard for UC to get up for those type of teams every week because they're not even that highly ranked.
Winning on the road in college football is hard.
Who's what?
Winning on the road in college football is hard.
It's hard, and it's a noon tip, whatever, kickoff, and UC has a hard time getting up to that type of game. We'll see this week against Tulsa. I see how bad they beat them. And in next week's rankings, let's see if they go higher up in the rankings.
Yeah. All right, appreciate the call, Brian. Great stuff.
All right, thanks.
Boy, phone lines are hot today. Let's get one more in before we hit a break. Max wants to talk college football invitational. Max, how you doing?
Hey, good, Chad. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I think we've had some good conversation today outside of that one caller I had to hang up on.
Yeah, I agree there. So the thing is I think they made it clear once you saw the first five.
Yeah.
UC wasn't getting in.
Yep.
You see Fresno State. Who the hell have they? I don't even know who they've played.
Okay, well, here's the thing, Max. This, I was going to get into this, and we've been taking calls, so I haven't really had a chance. Fresno State, they have two losses. One of their two losses is a 7-point loss to Oregon. So Oregon is not going, because the Pac-12 stinks, statistically, analytically, worse than the American Athletic Conference.
Correct.
Oregon was not going to have any other opportunities to get a marquee win on their resume. So they ranked two-loss Fresno State, who opened the season with a loss against Hawaii.
That was my point. They did that on purpose.
Correct. So that now they can say Oregon has another top 25 win other than Ohio State.
They left the other two AAC schools off on purpose,
yep.
So UC can't get any resume builders.
Right.
The other thing was, is they put all the Big Ten schools. I mean, I saw three lost Big Ten schools. Then they put Mississippi State. So Mississippi State last week was a nobody, right? They beat a Kentucky team who we are in Kentucky. But let's be real. Kentucky is overrated. They haven't beat any. Their best win is a non-ranked LSU and Florida win. And since Mississippi State beats them, even though they have three losses, boom, they're number 15 or 16 in the country.
Well, you know why they're number 15 in the country, right?
So then it gets worse, right? I feel like the committee has more respect for BYU and their two losses than UC being undefeated and beating Notre Dame on the road. And everybody's like, oh, well, Indiana's terrible. Well, we played Indiana with Mike Vick Jr., not the little backup that everybody
right.
else has been playing Indiana with, as well as the fact
Michigan State that beat Indiana by 5 points without Michael Penix.
Exactly. And the thing is when did – a 19-point win become playing terrible.
Yeah.
They dominated
yeah.
Tulane. That defense, to Tulane, it didn't matter what quarterback was in there. First off, the quarterback got hurt because he was getting destroyed. It's not like he just got hurt from some fluke play of running
right.
and tripped and tore his ACL. He got hurt because the Bearcats defense was all over him.
Here's
didn't know what they were doing.
Here's my favorite, maybe my favorite stat from that I got from last night somebody sent to me. Out of conference, the Big Ten had as many ranked out of conference road wins as Cincinnati. One.
Exactly.
One.
And the thing also is who has Michigan State beaten and played?
Michigan, that's it.
That's it. So is Michigan that much better than Notre Dame?
Who has Michigan beaten? Go look at that schedule. It's worse than Michigan State.
Rutgers and Nebraska. Nebraska somehow is on College Game Day. They haven't been good in 45 years.
Right.
It's crazy.
It's infuriating, Max. It's infuriating.
It's crazy to me they did this. And then I think they did it on purpose as well, putting them at six, because they're teasing them like, oh, here you go. Take the achievement of being the highest G5
yeah.
thing and then be satisfied with that. But don't worry. We got Alabama at two, even though they just lost as 18-point favorites. But we win as 24-point favorites, so we did win enough.
Yeah, they won by 19 instead of 24.
Yeah, right. Then
what a disappointment.
It's even crazier is they're doing this where Oklahoma, if Oklahoma wins,
they're going to jump Cincinnati.
So that way they can be like, oh, look, we didn't ride Oklahoma. We put them low. But
right.
as soon as they win one of those ranked games, they're going to fly up there.
Yep.
Wake Forest being at nine is the biggest joke in the world. I think the ACC is worse than the AAC this year.
Statistically, it's not in the metrics, but it's close. All right, Max, I appreciate it, brother. I have got to get to a break.
Yeah, you guys cut me off, or I'll keep going for 10 minutes.
I've destroyed the clock already like four times today. Taryn's going to kill me. Thanks, Max. Appreciate it, man. Take a quick break. Joe from Latonia, when we come back, the phone lines are hot. I've got something I want to get to from three of the best college football writers in the country from their podcast. Haven't been able to get to it. The calls have been great. It's been good stuff. You guys needed to vent. You guys needed an outlet. I'm your outlet. Chad Brendel, in for Mo Egger, Cincinnati's ESPN 1530.
Hopping, stopping, hopping like a rabbit. When I take the Nina Ross, you know I got to have it. I lay back in the cut, retain myself.
It's my favorite Snoop song, by the way. I think I told you that before. So I could just sit here and listen to it for the rest of the show, but I'm not gonna. We're rolling on the phones. Joe and Latonia, how's it going, Joe?
I'm hanging in, Chad. How about you?
I'm doing all right.
Good. I'm coming down a little bit from last night. You know, that was an adrenaline rush. It was, you know, because it's not that it was that surprising, but still to get smacked in the face like that, it's just maddening.
Do you agree with me that the six, like being sixth, isn't surprising? Like,
right?
But it's insulting our intelligence along the way. Like, he said, we have great respect for Cincinnati. No, you don't. That's a lie.
Right.
The lie detector test determined that's a lie. Like, you do not have great respect for Cincinnati. Because what he said was, we have great respect for Notre Dame, and Cincinnati beat Notre Dame.
Right.
But honestly, we don't respect anything Cincinnati's done.
Well, yeah, and I sort of wonder if Notre Dame might not have even been a little bit higher if they didn't think that would have helped Cincinnati.
Of course, Notre Dame at 10 was another telltale sign.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, for me, with all the things about it that drive me crazy, and I think you're right, it's the patronizing, you know, crap from there.
It's patting Cincinnati on the head. Like, you should just be happy we put you at 6.
Yeah. Well, you know, other than that, the other thing that drives me nuts, and then there is one silver lining I want to share, but the thing that drives me nuts is the argument that is all, you know, Johnny Twitter everywhere, that do you really believe that on a neutral field,
yes,
Cincinnati, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
And it's just like, why do we even have a season then? Why don't we just pencil in the four teams that – it's kind of like the WWE. It's like, let's just get Triple H and, you know, whoever else. And put them in there, and then we'll just have that, and then everybody else can just play consolation or exhibition games. Because if losses don't have any consequences, and Alabama's loss had zero, I mean, they didn't even move a spot.
Did you hear what I said earlier?
Yeah.
Gary Barta just acknowledged, like, we didn't even debate Alabama. When we like, Georgia 1, Alabama 2, okay, let's get this thing started.
Yeah, and that decision was made before the season started.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like,
they didn't lose.
So, I mean, yeah.
They didn't even play Texas A&M. What is everybody talking about? That game didn't happen. It's like they think that they hit the light on us from Men in Black.
Right. And then the argument that Texas A&M is not a bad loss. Anybody who saw Texas A&M play Colorado, honestly, that did not even look like football.
Right.
You know, so it's anyway, but the silver lining that I have in all of this for me is that because the teams ahead of Cincinnati are so shaky, the potential for this blowing up right in their face is big.
Here's the thing. I think that they still like safeguarded themselves, because let's say you know Baylor beats Oklahoma and wins out, when you know they're in position as a one loss team with a win over Oklahoma and a win over Oklahoma State, they're gonna jump Cincinnati. Like you know, they have safeguarded. The SEC is probably getting two, and the Big Ten is getting one for sure. And now all they just need Oregon or Oklahoma to get to the finish line, or somebody else in the Pac-12, and they're going to get that fourth spot. Like they have done. I know we've taken a ton of phone calls today, but the message I wanted to get across today was the collusion doesn't happen 1 through 10. The collusion starts 1 through 10, but the collusion is 15 to 25.
Because
they set it up so that, okay, the Big Ten West, like, we can't have a team win the Big Ten West that's not ranked.
Right.
Because we can't have an unranked Big Ten West champion playing in the Big Ten championship game.
Right.
We have to we have to have somebody at the altar for sacrifice for Ohio State or Michigan State or Michigan, whatever. And they do that with, you know, putting Bama 1 or 2. Like, they safeguard everything. And Mississippi State and Auburn being ranked as high as they are, that gives Alabama top 20 wins. So they can stay at 2, and nobody questions it. Now, you know, maybe they get lucky and somebody knocks them off, but I doubt it.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. And, I mean, I would love to see some more chaos, but I'm not counting on it. But like you said before, I think it's really important not to let the farce that this is ruin our experience of this season, because it's special and it needs to be. We need to enjoy it, because you know who knows what our future will hold when we move into the bigger conference.
But for now, this is a once in a lifetime experience for a Bearcat fan. So we got to enjoy it. Yep.
I've talked about that in the past. Like, there's people that were there in the 70s and 80s that are members of Bearcat Journal, and they talk about, you know, the dark days of UC football. Like,
oh, yeah.
For them not to be able to enjoy this would be criminal because they've waited too long. They've sacrificed too much.
Oh, yeah. I remember in my own experience just watching the Bearcats upset Wisconsin with Ron Dane with about, a couple thousand of my friends, and that's about it. So it's been a journey.
Surprisingly, there were now 100,000 people that were at that game that had attendance of 15,000. Thanks a lot, Joe. I appreciate it, man.
All right. Take care, man.
See, we're killing it now. We're on a roll. We're going to take a quick break. We got Tommy and Vinny when we get back. Richard Skinner coming up right after that. Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. You're playing all my favorites today. That's the truth. That's the thing now. Like, Taryn actually would be the one to curate Chad's playlist. Like, he's through trial and error, he's learned by looking through the window. Like, he knows when I start dancing, like, when I'm behind the mic, rapping the words invisibly. Like, he knows. So, when we haven't seen, it's been like 6-7 weeks, we haven't seen each other. He's deep in his bag of tricks. He's pulling out all the hits, he's pulling out my favorites.
Had to dust them off.
You did. Like, Mo doesn't know anything about De La Soul.
Hey, when you and your buddies are looking for a place to watch baseball this season, how about Longneck Sports Grill? Each location has 4K TVs all over the place, so you'll never miss a pitch. The menu is so extensive that you can get something different every time you visit, and no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. There are locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood, and when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a spring night on Longneck's outdoor patio. This baseball season, Longneck Sports Grill. Stay late. Come often.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
He doesn't know anything about De La Soul and Redman. That's what we're here for. All right, we got to hit it right now. We got Richard Skinner coming up here in about 7-8 minutes. So, Tommy, UC ranking, what you got for me real quick?
Yeah, I think UC's rank is appropriate right now. I think they have the chance to improve.
Let me ask you this, Tommy. Let me ask you this. Do you think Oregon has a substantially better resume than UC?
Yes.
Why?
Yes. They're willing to go on the road and beat Ohio State at the Horseshoe.
Cincinnati was willing to go on the road and beat Notre Dame and snap Notre Dame's the second longest home winning streak in the nation.
Okay.
I think Ohio State is a better win than Notre Dame, but slightly, marginally better, right?
As of right now, we don't know how Notre Dame's schedule is going to fix out with not even playing a ranked team besides UC at this point. The other thing that I like to look at is when you look at the tiebreakers. They say the tiebreakers when they choose this committee is conference championships. That hasn't happened. Strength of schedule still being determined. The next thing that they look at is head-to-head and common opponents. You look at head-to-head, Oregon-Ohio State. Oregon gets in over Ohio State because Oregon beat Ohio State. If you look at Ohio State versus UC, you look at the Indiana game. Ohio State was putting their second and third stringers in midway through the third quarter.
Because Indiana was minus their two starting cornerbacks, and two other starters that played against Cincinnati.
Okay, so is that going to make a difference of 40 points?
We don't know.
Right.
We know exactly. It's a completely different Indiana team. What happened when Indiana had Michael Penix the last time they played Ohio State?
Well, what happened the last time UC played Ohio State?
Okay, but that's 4 years ago. I'm talking about last year, Michael Penix almost brought Indiana back to beat Ohio State. So in your hypothetical of how much impact does Michael Penix have, we saw the impact Michael Penix had against Ohio State. Did we not?
I honestly, last year I think is a year that you can dismiss from the fact of
because
COVID
it doesn't suit your argument. Okay. That's where I got to draw the line. Like, all of a sudden we can just now dismiss things because it doesn't suit your argument. That's not how having a conversation in a debate works. I don't get to say that because you have decided to dismiss it from the evidence. You're not a judge. That's not how this works. Vinny wants to talk about the Reds and the Braves. Something the Braves did something the Reds can't do. Real quick, Vinny.
Yeah. I just want to change it up. I mean, okay. You talk is maddening. But I'll say this. Hey, Chad, you're a nicer guy on the radio than you are on Twitter. I'll say that, man.
I'm not as bad as I pretend to be on Twitter. I just say I'm here's what I want people to know about my Twitter. I 99% of the time am smiling behind the screen because I think it's funny. I think it's entertaining.
Well, that's good to know. Next time you berate me, I won't threaten to kill you to my wife. I'll tell you what, it's kind of pressing, okay? We all know what the Cardinals did. They fired the manager that got them to the playoffs. We give ours a extension.
Right.
The Reds needed an outfield bad. The Braves went out. The whole talk of the World Series was how the Braves rebuilt their outfield. They added four studs. Can you imagine if the Reds would have added Duvall and those other couple guys, the guy with the pearls? That would have been huge.
Here's what the Braves did that's amazing. The Braves lost three massive pieces. Massive pieces. And they didn't they didn't throw up their hands and say, we'll get them next year. They said, no. Yeah. We have built a roster that we think can win. We're going to go out and we're going to do what we can to replace what we lost, and we're going to keep it moving.
And then you got the Bengals who don't do nothing on the trade deadline. It would have been huge.
Yeah, the NFL trade deadline, that's such a different animal because of the way that, like, the salary cap works in the NFL. Like, the dead money and the money that gets left, it's almost not worth it to trade in the NFL, I think. Like, it's just that there's too many risks involved that I'm not a big trade deadline guy in the NFL. Unless you feel like you're missing one thing from being a championship team, right?
Well, but you got guys like Tony. He's saying get do a trade, so maybe he's not as good as football as he thought he was. He couldn't make it in the NFL.
No, Tony's great. Tony's a lot more aggressive. Tony's got a player's mentality, right? I'm more analytical. I'm more like thinking about the repercussions of, like, this team gets stuck with this money if you trade this guy. It makes it difficult in the NFL. They make it really difficult. I think if they changed some of the rules and the way the money was handled, I'd be a lot more into, like, I think teams would be a lot more into being active at the trade deadline. But because of the way that the trade language and the way contracts are handled, it just makes it not as feasible to do it. Like in baseball, it's straight up. Here, this guy comes with his money. That guy goes with his money. We take this, you take yours, and everything's even. And it doesn't work like that in the NFL, unfortunately.
Well, Tony was wanting that guy from the Bears that they got from the Raiders. He was talking about getting him. Khalil Mack?
Yeah. I mean, I'd be all right with Khalil Mack. Don't get me wrong. All right, I got to get to Skinny here. I got to get to a break and got to get to Skinny. Appreciate it, Vinny. And give me like a sign next time, and I won't yell at you on Twitter.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks, man. Good Reds talk. A little bit of Bengals talk in there. Let's take a break. Richard Skinner next. Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. You know why this is good, right? Do you know why this is relevant? Damn, it feels good to Why? Be a gangster. Why do you think this is relevant right now? This was me and Skinny's end of the hour song back in our previous radio life. Are you having flashbacks, Skinny?
I am. Still one of my favorite scenes from a movie of all time is that song.
I was talking about to our show.
Oh, I know. I remember that. I do. But it's still one of my favorite teams in the movie.
It is. Yeah. And, awesome. And also one of the best three-month radio show experiences of your life.
It went fast.
What we got from – we started – at the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, they made us come on the Thursday of the NCAA tournament was our first day, and we didn't make it to training camp.
No, that's a fact. We did not. Did we make it to the All-Star break?
Yeah, we got into July, and we were gearing up. Remember, we were having meetings about what we're going to do for camp coverage.
Yes, yes.
That involved Rick Uchino, who is now here as well.
It did, as a matter of fact.
All right, let's get to it, Skinny. Can you please somehow explain to me how Oregon's resume is better than Cincinnati? Can you help me with this?
I think they really have a hard time. What really throws a monkey into it is them going to Ohio State winning and then losing to Stanford. Because then you're like, all right, we think they're better than Ohio State, but Ohio State we think is pretty good, and that's not an awful loss for Ohio State. And you know what? It's still UC only has the win over Notre Dame, but that doesn't matter to them. So let's put Oregon ahead of Ohio State because of that win, and we think because of eyeball test, Ohio State's better than Cincinnati. So we'll put them there. No, none of it makes any sense. It makes absolutely no sense to me.
What? Why?
And to say your best win is just over Notre Dame? Well, yeah, they beat Notre Dame at Notre Dame, and that's guess what? How many losses does Notre Dame have this year, Chad?
Well, Joey Galloway informed me last week that Cincinnati's win over Notre Dame isn't impressive because Notre Dame has a loss.
Yeah, to the team that beat
right,
Cincinnati.
Right.
I mean,
Cincinnati's resume isn't as strong because Notre Dame has a loss.
Hey, listen, going back to Oregon, the win at Ohio State is really impressive.
It's great. It's the best win in the country right now.
Yes, and I think Ohio State's a really good team from an eyeball test. And I think I'd put them in my top four when all was said and done. But they also have a 7-point win over Cal, a 3-point win over UCLA. You know, one of those teams are going anywhere, maybe to a minor bowl, but they haven't done anything. And then the loss to Stanford in overtime, you can't discount that either. I'm not here to kick dirt on Oregon, but, I mean, I think the simplest thing to do was to put Cincinnati number four because they do have zero losses. And
right.
They beat a team that you ranked inside your top 10 yesterday, Notre Dame, at number 10.
Right.
I don't think it's that hard to do. I think the problem is, and I had some pushback from a couple of fans on this, so I said it on the Sports Authority a couple of Sundays ago. I said, if I'm a UC fan, I really am hoping they are in the top four because at that point I think it would be hard to shove them out. And I think that's what they're afraid of. I think that's why they were not in the top four was if you put them in, yes, teams can leapfrog. I get all those things that maybe there's some more impressive wins for other teams. But if you put them in at four and they don't lose again, how do you push them out? How do you in good faith at that point push them out?
You know how you push them out? Is you don't put SMU and Houston in the top 25,
well, yeah,
so you
that
say
too.
That they don't have any top 25 wins other than Notre Dame.
That's the thing here, Chad, with all of this. It's
so corrupt.
It's the subjectivity of it that just there's no clear-cut parameters. Listen, the NCAA tournament selection process is not perfect, right?
No.
We know that. And there's always arguments for teams 69, 70, 71, 72, et cetera. But you know what every one of those teams that plays college basketball at the start of the season knows? You've
got
two ways to probably earn your way into that tournament. Probably win your conference, which is going to go a long way towards getting that large bid if you don't, or win your conference tournament. You have that opportunity. That's up to you to do that. In the case of a college football team, whether it's Cincinnati or any other undefeated team, we may find a year where there's six one-loss teams, for goodness sakes, and no undefeated. There's no clear-cut parameter that says, here's why this team should be in. Listen, eyeball test, I think Georgia's clear-cut number one.
Yeah.
Their best win's probably over, Kentucky and Auburn?
Right.
I mean, you know, and those are good wins, but the subjectivity of it is just so insane. Hey, listen, I think Alabama eyeball test is great, and they are great. But you know what? They were a 19.5-point favorite and lost to that team, Texas A&M. Doesn't that account for something?
It doesn't. That Skinny, that loss didn't happen.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. I undefeated Alabama. You're right. I forgot.
It didn't happen.
It didn't happen with a quarterback limping back on the field on one leg and going to beat their ass.
Come on. Did you catch what I talked about earlier? I you probably weren't listening. I know you're super
I'm
busy.
I'm here at Paul Brown Stadium. Yeah, I'm here at Paul Brown Stadium in the press box, but go ahead.
Gary Barta said the conversation started 3 through 10. 3 through 10 was really close. You know what that means? They walked into that room. They went 1 Georgia, 2 Alabama. All right, let's get to business.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly it.
And how is that? How?
And I wish the argument would have been, hey, 2-7 are really close. Exactly. I think they probably are. One's clear cut. I don't think
Georgia's fine. Nobody's worried. Georgia's number one. That's right.
That's exactly. 2-7, then we got an argument. And
they didn't even discuss Alabama. They just put them at 2 and moved on.
Hey, when you and your buddies are looking for a place to watch baseball this season, how about Longneck Sports Grill? Each location has 4K TVs all over the place, so you'll never miss a pitch. The menu is so extensive that you can get something different every time you visit, and no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. There are locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood, and when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a spring night on Longneck's outdoor patio. This baseball season, Longneck Sports Grill. Stay late. Come often.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
No, you're right. It's absolutely crazy to me. I guess there is some level of hope if you get another. You know, if you get another.
You need chaos.
Possible.
You need more chaos.
You need more chaos. The scary part to the more chaos is this, and I don't want to throw a complete monkey. I heard somebody say this today, so I don't want to take full credit. But I've talked about this team with friends for a while. Man, if Auburn wins out, which would be a win over Alabama.
And then a win over Georgia.
And beats Georgia, they're going to be a two-loss team, and I'll bet you they're in.
No, I don't think a two-loss is going to get in. I don't think it's going to do it.
It shouldn't. They're
but with Alabama, if they beat number two and then number one, no, I mean, I think is very possible is Baylor wins out.
No, that's a good. They'd have one loss as well if they did that.
One loss, Baylor beating Oklahoma State and Oklahoma?
And then probably having to beat one of those two teams
again?
The second time in the Big 12 championship game. Yeah.
Baylor would be in that scenario.
Yeah,
I don't worry as much about Oklahoma or Oklahoma State because Oklahoma's their daddy.
Yeah, I just don't like this whole you need to suddenly again win by style points. I thought we were doing away with the whole style point conversation. I thought that was done.
But
for a while.
Skinny, here's the thing. The style points don't matter. If they would have beat Navy by 40 and Tulsa and Tulane by 50, they would have just said they haven't played anybody.
But it is a convenient excuse that they can.
Of course,
of course, they didn't look good in those games. Again, I go back to the. Well, I'll go back. You want to compare some apples to apples? Go.
Oklahoma and Tulsa.
That one too. But go look at Michigan State and the score with Indiana.
Right.
That was Indiana, I believe, without Michael Penix, a quarterback.
Correct.
At least when UC played him, they played him with Michael Penix. Now, Michael Penix wasn't good that day.
No, Michael Penix was really good for UC that day.
Yes, he was. But he was a starting quarterback for a reason. And Michigan State played them without Michael Penix, and it was a nail-biter.
It's a five-point game.
I mean,
five-point game.
What are we saying here?
Yeah, that's the problem I have with the whole thing, is the message that we're sending. Is basically just you don't try. Like, you're not getting in. You have no chance.
Michigan State's two best wins, and again, I'm good for them. I Kenneth Walker, I've got a future ticket on him to win the Heisman Trophy.
He's great.
That. But listen, their two best wins are Michigan at home, and they get some credit for that. Michigan's
sure.
Undefeated, and I get some credit for that. And what, Miami of Florida?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whew. Man, I
heard the argument. Like that was Miami of Florida with Derek King, and I'm like, and?
Yeah.
And?
It comes back to when you put a subjective thing going, you really never get a chance to allow a team to play its way in. You just don't. And that's unfortunate.
If they don't want you in, you're not getting in.
I'm gonna flip the script on you and ask you a quick question in this regard, Chad.
Okay.
Does this make UC players angry enough to start rubbing some people's nose in it, or do you think this becomes a letdown?
The thing there is, Luke, that's not how Luke coaches. But we'll see. I don't think there's a letdown. I think the past 2 weeks after getting to number two, I think that chip on their shoulder was gone.
Okay.
They didn't play with, go back and watch when, UCF and Temple and even the second half of Notre Dame and Indiana, they played with an edge. There were big hits. There were, guys getting just demolished in the open field, in tackling. You go and watch Navy and Tulsa, or Tulane, whatever, Tulsane, whatever. God, I can't wait to be in the Big 12. The tackling wasn't as aggressive. The play calling wasn't dialed in. Like, it just seemed like almost a chore to get through those games. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like, we just got to slog through them and like, just get to the next and be done with it. And I think you see an edge come back. Like, listening to Luke Fickell last night on his radio show, he almost sounded giddy, like under his breath, that he was going to get to finally, like, you know, put the iron back in the cow.
Okay. Like, okay. I can see that.
That's who he's a football guy. Like, he's you saw his comment about Gary Barta last night. Like,
oh, yeah.
Luke Fickell is diehard, dyed in the wool, epitome of football guy. And I think this gives him a chance to put his foot back on the gas.
Yeah, and the only problem to that is I don't know what that's going to end up meaning.
I don't either.
I think it's good for him, right? But I don't know what that means at the end of the day.
One question, Bengals, before I let you get out of here.
Yes.
How concerned should fans be that they let the Jets push them around?
I think it's kind of the whole, when we talked about the UC narrative of if they start stacking Navy performances, that's when you get a little concerned. I'm not yet. I mean, I think, you know, there's no question they logged 15 missed tackles, the coaching staff did on Sunday. Lou Anarumo kind of admitted to us that, you know, the linebackers probably dropped further back than they should have when they took their drops. And I asked Logan Wilson that today, hey, did that happen? Why did that happen? He had a good explanation of just, you know, normal defenses. You're trying to take away those deep crossers and you really don't think about the check downs. That's what you want teams to do. And they checked it down and checked it down for some big yardage. So I think those things will be corrected. And they better be, because this is a team that likes to throw to the running backs. They got the best rushing team in the NFL, so you better tackle it. So, yeah, if they stack a second bad performance like that defensively, then I would be. I don't think they will, because I think this is a good defense that just had an off day for whatever goofy reason you can point to, because it's been really good up until that point. And it's healthy.
All right. I'll leave you with one thing. How about Gary Barta saying, if a Group of Five team is ever going to make it, they're going to have to schedule more like BYU?
I'm going to leave you with one. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to leave you with one more. What if one loss Notre Dame creeps its way back up?
How could you ignore Notre Dame? They've got a quality loss.
Correct. They do. Exactly. I just wonder if they end up leapfrogging UC because of that quality loss.
Does Gary Barta know that BYU's not in the Group of Five? Because in order to be in the Group of Five, the Group of Five defines five conferences.
Conferences,
and
yes. BYU's not
in the conference, which means that the conference doesn't set 75% of their schedule because they don't play in a bleeping conference.
Maybe that's why the Notre Dame win doesn't matter much, because Notre Dame doesn't play in
a
conference.
Notre Dame's
they're not a national program, as you know.
Cincinnati needs a schedule more like Notre Dame.
Right, exactly.
Thanks, Skinny. Appreciate it, man.
See ya.
All right. That's it for the 4 o'clock hour. I love Skinny. I appreciate you playing our old outro music. It was very kind of you. 1.5 hour to go. We're out at 5:30. Chris Vanini coming up at 5:15. Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. All right, we got to move here. We might not even get to the singing part this time. We got a lot to get to. I want to play this clip. It is if you're a college football fan and you don't listen to this podcast, you're doing it wrong. It's three of the best college football scribes in the country. My friend Pete Thamel. Friends because he was on my podcast. So that makes us, anybody that's on my podcast, we're friends. That's how this works. And Pat Forty and Dan Wetzel. And this is them and their reaction to Cincinnati being number six last night.
This is stupid, but we're going to do it. Georgia 1, Bama 2, Michigan State 3, Oregon Ducks 4, Ohio State 5, Cincinnati 6. You got Michigan 7 over Oklahoma and Wake Forest. Notre Dame is 10. Oklahoma State, Baylor are 11 and 12. They still have an outside path, perhaps. I don't know. Auburn at 13 has games against Alabama and Georgia conceivably remaining. Could they come all the way from 13 to jump Cincinnati? I don't know. After that, I think we're done. Where the hell is Texas, San Antonio? Anyway.
Oh.
Yeah. Pat, your thoughts.
I have thoughts.
I bet you do.
I'm going to start with seven words that
just came back like it was yesterday when I was hearing them before, the exact same seven words last year from Gary Barta. The committee has tremendous respect for Cincinnati.
The lie detector to test determines. That was a lie.
He doesn't mean it this year. The committee has no respect for Cincinnati. Just because you say it doesn't make it true. In fact, it makes it insulting because the rankings make it very clear that you have no respect for Cincinnati. It doesn't matter what they do. They'll find people to put in front of them. They did it this time. Cincinnati, you know, they go, well, yes, you did beat Notre Dame. Congratulations. But, you kind of messed around with Navy and then a little bit with Tulane there. So we got to drop you behind Oregon and behind Ohio State. Oregon, by the way, which lost to 3-5 Stanford. We got to put you behind Alabama, which lost to a 2-loss Texas A&M team. So this tremendous respect is a pile of caca, just as it was last year.
I am shocked that this happened. I am just stunned. Who could have possibly seen this coming? I mean, it is just mind-blowing that Cincinnati got screwed in the same exact way that they got screwed the year before, using the same rhetoric and surrounded by the same biases that have kept them down. The worst news for Cincinnati wasn't that they were ranked 6th, because that was not surprising. The worst news is that committee set them up to not even have a chance or a prayer to get any higher. I think we've all watched SMU at some point this season, 7-1 SMU. They are a good football team. All right. They lost in overtime, I believe, or they were about to go to overtime, and then there was a kick return that they gave for a touchdown against 7-1 Houston. I don't know how you watched SMU play Houston and not come away with it thinking one of those teams should not be ranked. So I just really, the most dispiriting part for me, and all we're rooting for is a good story, right? Cincinnati is a good story. It's interesting. Cincinnati is Butler. Cincinnati is Boise in football. Cincinnati's Butler in basketball. They're VCU. They're George Mason. They are something to break this sport out of a rut that is so drudgerous and predictable that they actually are changing the system because the rut's so bad.
Listen, Cincinnati is in the friend zone. The committee put Cincinnati in the friend zone.
True.
They're never going to date him. Never happening. All five of their boyfriends ahead of them can all die.
All die. Yeah.
And they'll find five new ones. That's right. It ain't ever happening for Cincinnati.
Not as a group of five.
When they say, we have great respect, that means, yeah.
Yeah,
it's not
you got
you,
a great personality.
Got a great
personality.
Great personality. Mm-hmm. You got no shot, Cincinnati. You're in the friend zone. The committee is there. Same as coach AD's giving a vote of confidence to a coach. You're done. You got no shot.
Not wrong, unfortunately. Funny. Timely. Not wrong. We've all been there, right? The telling part where he's right about the friend zone reference is they've got five guys ahead of you, and those five guys could die, and it wouldn't be you. They would just go to the five below you and move them ahead of you, and you would still be sixth. That's where they're right. That's depressing as hell. Chris Vanini from The Athletic when we come back. Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. Here we go. Final segment of the day here on Cincinnati's ESPN 1530. I'm Chad Brendel. Thank you for tuning in. It has been an interesting show. Taryn, everybody's always like, when are you going to do a show that's all Cincinnati? It's all you see. And outside of listening to Zach Taylor for 20 minutes, this has been about as Bearcat show as you can get. We'll finish it out in that fashion as well. with our friend from The Athletic, Chris Vanini. You can find him on Twitter at Chris Vanini, V-A-N-N-I-N-I. Chris, how are you?
I am doing well. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on, as always. I guess here's where I struggle, Chris, and maybe you can explain this to me, and maybe you can't. When did losses stop mattering? When is it like we're at a point now where it just doesn't matter if you lose? It doesn't matter.
Well, the committee has, you know, made it evident.
Crooked, corrupt.
They've made it evident over recent years that wins matter to them. You have to have wins. But the, you know, my biggest issue with not with having Cincinnati where they are is that Cincinnati does have a win. They have a top 10 road win. Only Oregon can say that among other teams that are in the top 10. And so that's why the constant comments about the schedule don't hold as much water for me because, one, you've only played – there's only been 8 games. Like, the strength of schedule, it's not like nobody has played a murderer's row type of schedule.
Right.
Especially if you're outside the SEC. You know, Michigan State has a win over Michigan, and
that's it.
No other winning teams with a winning record. You know, Oregon does have that really bad loss. Like, wins matter, but you would think a loss to a 3-5 team could maybe offset that win a little bit, but it apparently doesn't at all.
I struggle. Like, yeah, like, credit to Oregon for having a slightly better win than Cincinnati does. But Cincinnati is – you're penalized for struggling with Navy – but you're not penalized for losing to Stanford, who's 3-5. But Chris, it was obvious from the first slide of the night, right? When they showed 21-25, and it didn't include SMU or Houston, and did include San Diego State and Fresno State, you knew it was going to be a bad night for Cincinnati.
Yeah, and then when you saw where the Big Ten West,
yeah,
members were, Minnesota number 20 for some reason, you knew the Big Ten schools were going to be ahead of them as well. So when it got down to it at the end, no, it wasn't a surprise. And you know, I talked to Mike Oresko last night, and that upsets him as much as anything, is that, you know, Mississippi State lost to Memphis and has 3 losses.
Right?
And
3 losses.
And, yeah, and so, you know, SMU plays Memphis this week, I think. So I don't know if a win against Memphis should get SMU back into the top 25 if they win. You know, theoretically it should. So you know, Oresko was upset that, you know, you say you don't beat ranked teams. Well, you're the one who's not ranking them when everybody else is ranking them. So that's where kind of the double standard comes in a bit. And I think he's understandably frustrated that whatever the criteria is to keep his teams out, you know, just to come up with something new every year.
Yeah, I mean, that's the in Cincinnati's case this year, they just copied the playbook from last year. They said the exact same things. The only thing that was different was they basically said, we respect Notre Dame, and because we respect Notre Dame, we have to respect at least that one game on your schedule.
Yeah, and that's where it kind of is inconsistent. And, you know, in terms of Cincinnati's response, I mean, I get why they're not – I get why, you know, Desmond Ritter doesn't want to go on the show or whatever because you want to just stay focused on what you're doing. But personally, I think they need to make more of a – ruckus about this.
It's not who Luke Fickell is.
Well, I saw he made a comment on his radio show asking if Gary Barta played football, so he got ticked off a little bit uncharacteristic for him. And Gary Barta, by the way, did play football
at
North Dakota State.
You know what they do at the Division III level, though? They have a tournament to determine.
I think he
won 3 national championships.
3 national championships at the Division II North Dakota State. So, yeah, no.
They competed for a championship.
That, but yeah, I mean, obviously with College Game Day, though, coming into town, like, you can't not, you know, make this the whole focus of the whole thing. So, you know, they will get their chance to, you know, cause a bit. But, you know, Oresko is going to be out there as much as he can, always, you know, campaigning for whenever he has an undefeated team in that mix. But, you know, yeah, Luke Fickell rightfully wants his team to focus on the games. But, you know, if you think they can handle both, if you think they can handle making a ruckus about the playoff and also winning games, and I don't think it would hurt to try to get some more, you know, public support on their side.
Yeah, it's so not who Luke is. It will be interesting to see if he lashes out a little bit more than, like, last year. I think they knew, especially based on who the top four was last year, like they weren't cracking that code. Clemson, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Alabama, those were the top four, and it wasn't changing unless total chaos happened. And that wasn't happening with those teams last year. This year it will be a little interesting to see if he's a little bit more aggressive in that defense of his program. But it's not overly his personality. So Saturday, I think, will be telling when you get him, because you have to assume, you know, they're not there for Tulsa. So they're not talking to anybody from Tulsa on Saturday. Maybe one human interest story. But Luke Fickell's going to be on that stage with those guys at some point in time Saturday, right?
Yeah. And simply saying, hey, you know, we got to take care of business and do our thing. Like, not that I think complaining is going to impact the committee, but I think they need to get as many people as they can to, be outraged by this if they want to get some more public support on their side. Because, I don't see anybody on ESPN anymore, believing these excuses. I saw Desmond Howard on SportsCenter today basically saying, that was a message to the group of five that you will never have a chance to do this. Because, again, the resumes of Ohio State, of Michigan State, of Oregon, of Alabama, of Georgia, they are going to get better later in the year because of the games that they have. Cincinnati can't. This was Cincinnati's best chance. Everybody's played about eight games. You have a top 10 win. You don't have a loss. Can't crack the top five. There's no real chance, and I don't think anybody believes that they do. And so it's every year that this happens, there's nobody left who believes that anybody from the group of five really has a chance.
How infuriating is it as a guy that covers the group of five to hear Gary Barta again say, if a group of five team is going to make the playoff, they're going to have to schedule more like BYU?
Yeah, I was the one who asked him.
Yeah, that's your question.
In December, and I wasn't going to ask it yet because it's only the first week. But if this happens again, I'm going to ask him the exact same question and then see what he says. I asked Gary Barta about Minnesota being number 20 for some reason and did not get a satisfactory answer, I don't think. But
no, they've got to have a Big Ten West team. Whoever wins the Big Ten West has to be ranked to be the sacrificial lamb for whoever wins the Big Ten East. Wisconsin, Iowa, and Minnesota are all ranked. They're terrible, all of them.
Yep, I mean, I have Iowa ranked. I don't have Wisconsin or Minnesota ranked, but it's a real testament of just how much being a Power Five school matters in the eyes of them. Minnesota has one win over a team with a winning record, the 5-3 Purdue team, and they lost to Bowling Green. Yep. And you think that deserves to be in over a Houston team that's 7-1 and beat SMU or an SMU team that only has a loss to Houston? I mean, I don't know.
I don't either. I think me, you, my producer, Taryn, Justin Williams, and like seven random guys could slow down Iowa's offense.
I saw someone, I've seen it theorized, if Iowa played Georgia's defense, who would score more points?
Georgia's defense?
They might. They've only allowed five touchdowns this year, and they scored three, so.
Yeah. Georgia's defense. Like, and by the way, Cincinnati's offense scored three touchdowns on Georgia's defense.
They did. And honestly, that's part of the case they need to make, in that this team can compete with SEC schools because we just saw it. And almost the whole team is back.
Now, without their two All-Americans.
Yeah, and you may want to say, Georgia's a different level this year, fine. But, this isn't like a team that we don't know how they match up against the best, because we've seen it in two of their last nine games.
My favorite part about Georgia's a different team this year is actually because of the NFL guys that sat out of that bowl game. That was Georgia's team this year.
Right.
Because the guys that stepped into those roles are the guys that are starting now. Like this was a better representation of Georgia's team this year than if they had the guys that went to the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, the guys got better, obviously.
No, I know, that's the funny part about it is those are the guys that played. Like the guys that sat out are gone, and the guys that stepped in for them are the guys that are great now. But I appreciate it, Chris, man. I know this for a guy that's so connected to the group of five and spends so much time following it, this has got to just make you want to pull your hair out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm currently at the college football playoff meetings here in Dallas, and, you know, if they don't expand coming out of these meetings, which seems like the likely situation, yeah, it can be a lot more frustration going around.
Thanks a bunch, man. You can find him at Chris Vanini on Twitter. He is the G5 in college football, national writer, one of the national guys for The Athletic, and he is fantastic, and we love him. Thank you, Chris.
Yep, thanks for having me.
So there you go. That was Chad Brendel's college football playoff reaction show. Great calls. I only hung up on two people. Why are Ohio State fans the way that they are, Taryn? I didn't hang up on you, brother. In fact, we had tacos, we had candy bars, we had a good day. It was like a reunion. It was good to see you, my friend.
Likewise.
I'll be on tomorrow with Mo, 3:45. I'll be back next Thursday in this chair. And that's it for today. I'm Chad Brendel, BearcatJournal.com. This is the Mo Eggers Show on ESPN 1530.
Hey, when you and your buddies are looking for a place to watch baseball this season, how about Long Neck Sports Grill? Each location has 4K TVs all over the place, so you'll never miss a pitch. The menu is so extensive that you can get something different every time you visit, and no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. There are locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood, and when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a spring night on Long Neck's outdoor patio. This baseball season, Long Neck Sports Grill. Stay late. Come often.